Ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you once again for joining us right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And I was just telling Paul, beware the Ides of July. That's not the same as beware the Ides of March. It's just hot. If you're out there, hey, the good news is we only have a few more months of intense heat out there. I saw something funny on Facebook here not too long ago, and it was an intense heat advisory, and it said if you've got to do anything outside, try to get it done before 11 a.m. and don't go outside again until November the 1st. And I was like, that's funny. That's funny. And so Friday, you know what that means? That means today is my day off, and I'm excited about that. Want you to be excited, because if you've got the weekend off, that's great. I pray that you already have plans in place to do the most important thing on your schedule, and that is gather together with the saints and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So today we want to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. They are a blessing all the way throughout Brevard County, from the southern part to the northern part, coastal to the interior as well. Whether you have a normal system with a air handler and a compressing unit on the outside, they can work on that. A mini split system, they can work on that. They do package units as well. As far as air conditioning, they are just really, really good at what they do. The reason for that is because they've been providing professional sales services and repairs for air conditioners, heaters, and electrical issues for over 40 years. They work in residential settings, light commercial settings, and provide emergency service when necessary. They strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So before you find yourself in need of their services, write this number down, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. Write it down, put it someplace where you can see it, and then I would recommend establishing a relationship with them. Have them come and say, be that way you're established, and when you call because you do have an emergency, they can get you taken care of. 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. That would be greatly, greatly appreciated. So just one more invitation for you to come and join us Sunday morning, 10:30. I will be preaching the word, and I'll be preaching as good as I can preach. And so we'd love to have you come and join us and be a part of that. Unfortunately, we've had some people that have passed away this year, but we've had new people that have been coming as well. And we would love for you to come and be a part of that new growth that is taking place at Merritt Assembly. So we're going to return today to the book of Acts, chapter 4. And we're discussing right now the limitation of united opposition against God. The difference between Satan's strength and God's strength is not a small difference. It is a vast difference. And so whenever you see the world and demonic activity taking place, or evil activity taking place, ungodly activity taking place, and they seem to have a strong hand. I just want you to put a number on that strength and multiply it by about a million and say, God, I know you're more than a million times stronger than what the enemy is. And God, I can't wait to see what this victory is going to look like when you get through with it. So in Acts chapter 4, they were praying to God and said, God, there was united opposition against Jesus, against your plan and purpose. They didn't want to do what you had set as a pivotal moment in human history. Now, verse number 29, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So opposition against the things of God or the people of God is a phenomenal time. It is a wonderful opportunity for you and I to press in, to pray, to see God's face, and to wait on him. And I pray that you will pray big prayers, huge prayers. Okay? The pressure and the intimidation that the disciples were facing at this point in time was not coming from Herod and Pontius Pilate. It wasn't coming from the people. It was coming from the religious leadership. So, if you look up at verse number 18, it's or let's go up a little bit more. Verse number 15. So this is when James and John are hearing what the religious leadership has instructed them. It said, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Isn't that kind of a warped mindset? A noticeable miracle has been done, but we don't want that to spread. We don't want that to continue to happen. What an interesting mindset. That reflects a nature in the religious leadership of that day that they weren't in favor of the lives of the people that they were supposed to be making better. They didn't want their lives to be made better. We know that this is a notable miracle. It is verifiable. It is significant. But we got to make sure it doesn't go anyplace any further than that. So let's threaten them, severely threaten them, that they speak to no man in this name. So verse number 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because all of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. So they called Peter and John in and they threatened them. And Peter and John said, look, you don't want us speaking anymore in the name of Jesus? We can't help ourselves. We can't help but speak about the things which we have seen and which we heard. And so they further threatened them. And then they released them and let them go. And they went and they started praying. And they said, God, you know what it was like when everybody was united against you and your plan. And now we're facing similar opposition. And so we're praying. And here's what we're asking you first, God. You're Lord. You're not small L-O-R-D. You're capital L-O-R-D. You are God to the uttermost. You are the self-existent one. You are the Holy One of Israel. You reign supreme over every realm of society, over every era in history. You rule and reign in body, soul, and spirit. You are Lord. Look on their threats. I would be tempted to put in there, just because it's the type of personality that I have, God, look on their threats. Aren't they ridiculous? Go. I feel like laughing at threats right now. I don't know about you, but I pray that our awareness, our personal relationship with God would be so bound with Him that everything that stands against Him would look ridiculous. I made a statement one time that I'm not all that tall. I'm between 5'8 and 5'9. It depends on what time of day. You know, sometimes early of a morning I'm 5'9. By the time the end of the day comes around, I'm closer to 5'8. You know, just the law of gravity just has that impact. Most of the time I measure about 5'8 and a half. But when I was in college, I had a friend that was the center on the basketball team. And our basketball team was pretty good back in those days. He was 6'9" tall. One of the guys on the basketball team ended up playing for the Harlem Globetrotters at one point in time. So he was very good. He could shoot the ball from any place. Wasn't the fastest guy around, but he was a phenomenal shooter. And that, just because I like to tell stories, he had been recruited to go to a Catholic school and play basketball on a scholarship. And he told the guy who was recruiting, he said, "Look, I'm Assemblies of God. I'm a Protestant. I'm a Pentecostal, and you're wanting me to go play there." And the coach said, "Well, that's what we need at our school. We need more Protestant Pentecostals at our school." He ended up coming to the Bible college that I attended at that point in time. He was just a phenomenal basketball player. But back to the guy that was 6'9", he was in charge of the gym one night, and we were just horsing around, and I was trying to compete spiking the ball over the volleyball net against this guy that was 6'9", and here I was about 5'9", and that's 12 inches of difference. And I was like, not, and I mean, we were having fun, and all of a sudden he slammed one and it just about ripped my finger off. I mean, it hurt so bad. That was the end of our competition that night. I said, "Well, I tell you what, if you get me a 7-year-old out here, I bet I can dominate them with the height differential and the experience level. I bet I could just take them to town because of the competition level." And so here the children or James and John and the other disciples, they are looking and they are saying, "God, there's no competition that can measure up to you. Their threats are ridiculous." And it says, "And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." I tell you what, I'm praying not only for myself, not only for the congregation that meets at 165 North Grove Street, but I'm going to pray for you as well, that God fills us with a holy boldness to proclaim the word of God in the face of threats, intimidation, and hostility against people of faith. You know, I heard one time that people in a persecuted nation, which I won't name, but the Christians there face persecution every single solitary day. And they benefit from some of the favor that we have, and that people in America just have a giving heart, and they want to help hurting people, and churches send missionaries and equipment and things like that. And the Christians in that country said, "We are grateful for the help, but please do not take the persecution that we face away from us." That sounds like a strange concept here in America, but what they were seeing in their country was tremendous spiritual growth. You know what we're not seeing here in America? Not even tremendous spiritual growth. We're not even seeing much spiritual growth at all. So I ask you, which one is being more effective? I'm not crying out for more persecution. I don't go looking for trouble, but when trouble finds the people of God, they also find the God of the people. And so they said, "God, fill us with boldness because we want to accomplish the things that you want us to speak. We want to speak your word with boldness. We want to speak it with frankness and confidence." And it said, "And also by stretching out your hand to heal." By stretching out your hand to heal. Every person listening to the sound of my voice, it's appointed unto us the day that we're going to die, and after that comes the judgment. The only people that are going to avoid that fate are those that happen to be alive and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ when the trumpet sounds and we're gathered together to meet Christ in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. I'm looking forward to that. I prefer that route than the route of death. I'm just stating my preference. But until then, I want to see God do signs and wonders. I want him to stretch out his hand and heal people. I know people that have been healed supernaturally. I've been healed in my body, and I'm thankful for the medical community. I'm thankful for medical technology. I'm not here in a position of arrogance. I'm in a position of gratitude, but I'm also a realist to recognize that there is limitations. That's what we're talking about, the limitations of United Opposition. There's limitations of what man and his current knowledge level and technology is able to accomplish on behalf of God's people, but God does not experience those limitations. And so I pray that he reaches out and heals people, not just so that they are restored to health and comfort, but so that the name of Jesus is glorified. This healing that took place gave the opportunity to people to hear the gospel and resulted in people being saved. That's what I want to see. The healings that we experience, we need to be grateful for them, but we also need to be real and say we're on a collision course with a threshold to eternity, and we've got to make sure we're spiritually healthy, not just physically healthy. So there are going to be people that experience the healing touch of God, but they don't know Jesus as the Lord and their Savior. You don't have to be a believer in Jesus Christ to experience the blessing of healing. Naaman in the Old Testament did not have a saving relationship with Jesus or with the Lord God Almighty. Jesus didn't come around to the New Testament, just so that you know, verbal slip up there. He didn't have a relationship with God, but he came away with a personal relationship with God that said, "Hey, I am so grateful. I am so grateful." Healing can come before you're a believer. Okay? And so they prayed, "God, send forth your, stretch out your hand to heal, and do signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Okay. You can look, and Revelation says that there are going to be signs and wonders that are done by the Antichrist, the false prophet, and there are going to be signs and wonders that are done. But the difference is that they are looking for the glory to go to them. They are looking for those signs and wonders to be done to lead people into deception instead of being led into truth. You and I are looking for signs and wonders to be done so that people will know that it's through the name of Jesus. In fact, when when Peter and John were on trial, they said, "Let it be known that it is through the name of Jesus that this man has been made to rise up and walk." That's in chapter 4, verse number 10. Peter said it. "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." Okay? So, signs and wonders through the name of Jesus for the glory of Jesus. So, there was the united opposition against this new move of God that was coming forth, but it was limited because that opposition could not and would ever be able to overpower the plans and the purpose of God. So what happened as a result of their prayer? In verse number 31, "And when they had prayed, the place they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." You can go on and look throughout the book of Acts, and you would find that they had holy boldness to speak. There were healings that took place that opened the door for the gospel to be heard. There were signs and wonders that were done to the glory of God. And in just a few decades, because the believers had been transformed and delivered from fear to people of faith, the world had the largest percentage of believers that it had ever had. There are a lot of people who believe right now, well, we don't need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We don't need the boldness to speak the word of God. You know, we got all this technology. Listen, I had a conversation with a marketing specialist when I first came to Merit Assembly of God. They were a recruiter and dealt with marketing. They were in a building right next to our church, and I had a conversation, said, "What could I do to help get people to the church?" And this was what this marketing specialist said: "Pastor, the only thing that we have ever found to be effective when it comes to building a church is people reaching other people." That was the message from an expert in the field, is it's word of mouth and it's people. Listen, I'm thankful for technology. I'm thankful for the live streams. I'm thankful for the radio. And the one thing that I really appreciate about the radio is this gives you a chance to not only know about God and the Word of God, but it gives you a chance to know me. My office manager said that she's talked to numerous people and on the telephone through the years, and that oftentimes they will say, "Pastor Bob just sounds so real." And her response is, "That's him. That's who he is. All of the time. Not just in the pulpit on Sunday morning. You hear him. The bad jokes that you hear on here are the bad jokes that I tell in the pulpit. They're the bad jokes or the dad jokes that I tell to my kids and to my grandkids. One of my daughters sent a picture of our grandson and said he's infatuated with the camera. And he was just real close up to the camera. And so immediately I took a picture of myself looking back at him as if I was infatuated with the camera too. And one of my kids said, "Dad, you're just awesome. You're just..." Look, I'm very serious about the gospel, but I also believe that the joy of the Lord ought to manifest in who we are and what we're doing. Listen, we need to be bold. We need to ask God to, by His Spirit, fill us to overflowing so that we go forth not just with a boldness, but with a holy boldness. There's a difference between relying upon the boldness that I can work up in my own mind and the boldness that comes from having the Holy Spirit moving in my life. There's a difference there. So today, if you're facing opposition to, you know, whatever it is that God has called you to do, pray. And when you pray, pray big, pray bold, and say, "God, I'm going to need you to do a work in me." I want you to know, it says, God, look on their threats, but everything that they prayed was, "God, do a work in me." There is no limitation that united opposition can impose upon your life to allowing God to change you and to change me. And like I said, I think it was on yesterday's program, if God changes me, then all of a sudden that influence is going to touch other people, and maybe God will change them for the better as well. Merit Assembly of God exists to be a blessing. We are here if you are hurting, if you are needing a miracle in your life. We would love to stand in faith with you. We would love to see God do a miracle in you. We're praying that God does great things through us. So, Sunday morning, we're going through the book of Romans, 9:30 in Sunday school. Worship begins at 10:30. I'll be preaching a word, and we would love for you to join us so that we could pray bold prayers together, because our enemy doesn't stand a chance because of our God.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Church with joy.